Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
How may I help you, my brother?
Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes?
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes!
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could.
Damn it, man, I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
All right, before anybody loses their goddamn mind, I apologize. Okay, I apologize. Everybody's gone damn crazy. All right, my phone, my computer completely crashed. And I have gone nuts for the past 26 minutes trying to fix it. So I'm here. I'm alive. So, I know everybody's freaking out, but I'm good to go. I've been sweating here, panicking, because I thought the whole damn thing had just gone nuts, had gone haywire. So please excuse me.
Please, look at this. Angie Mary.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Me up. She's dry eyes. Something's wrong.
Okay, I will call. Everybody's calling me. They're all going nuts. I'm here. I promise you, I'm here. Give me 2 minutes, okay? I'm fixing everything. Everything will be back to normal. All right? Just stand back. All right? I'll be right here in a second.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
That's Obama's got your back. All right, I apologize. We're back to normal. Don't worry about it because we got plenty of stuff to talk about. You know what we got to talk about? We've got to talk about George Zimmerman. Everybody's on the phone. Everybody's ready to go. We are going to talk about George Zimmerman and his little interview that took place yesterday. Okay? His interview that took place yesterday with Hannity, Sean Hannity. All right? Of course, the most important part always in everything is to play part one of that interview. And this is how it began yesterday. After this, we'll take questions. I'll give you my scenario.
A lot of time has passed since this incident with Trayvon. How do you feel about it now that you've had some time to reflect on what has happened?
I haven't really had the time to reflect on it. When I was in jail, obviously I was in solitary confinement, and I had a lot of time to think and reflect. I just think it's a tragic situation. I hope it's the most difficult thing I'll ever go through in my life, but let's go back to the night of the shooting. Take us back to that night. You were going to the store. Just let's start at the beginning. I was going to Target to do my weekly grocery shopping. Sunday nights was the only nights. Well, Sunday after we mentored the kids, we would always go grocery shopping and do our cooking for the week. So I wanted to go to Target and I headed out, and that's the last time I've been home since that.
That's been a back since that day. We all have heard the 911 call. On that 911 call, you mentioned that there had been a number of break-ins in the neighborhood. Why were you a community watch person? How long were you involved in that, and why did you become a community watch person?
In August of 2011, there was a home invasion. A young lady was home with her nine-month-old baby, and they broke in her sliding glass door. She barricaded herself in the upstairs bedroom, and my wife was home by herself, and she saw the people that burglarized her run through our backyard with their belongings. And even though my wife wasn't certain what happened, that was enough to scare her and shake her up. And I promised her I would do what I could to keep her safe.
Your gun was legal. You had a legal weapon in the state of Florida.
Yes, sir.
Why did you feel the need to carry a gun? A lot of people maybe have a weapon inside their home, but you decided to carry yours. Why did you think it was necessary to have a weapon with you, and did you carry it at all times?
I carried it at all times except for when I went to work.
Yeah. A lot of this case, legally, we're going to get to Mark in a few minutes here and ask him about a lot of legal aspects because there's so many of them in this case, has to do with stand your ground. You've heard a lot about it. And I was just curious, prior to this night, this incident, had you even heard stand your ground?
No, sir.
You never heard about it before?
No.
Now, it was very interesting, in the 911 call that everybody has heard, you said that all of a sudden you found somebody who looked suspicious, he may be on drugs. That was one of the earlier comments that you made in that 911 call. What made you think he was suspicious, and what made you think that he might be on drugs?
I felt he was suspicious because it was raining. He was in between houses, cutting in between houses, and he was walking very leisurely for the weather.
Now, this is always confirmed. This right here confirms something that I've always said for a long time. I'm going to cut it up into several pieces, but there's plenty of stuff that I've been saying for a long time. There are things that I've been saying forever. And that is, he said the reason why this made him suspicious is because Trayvon Martin is walking in between houses. As we finally realized, I've always said this, I don't think anybody can contend that I always said this, that Trayvon Martin looks suspicious because he leaves his house. Sure, he goes out to go buy some Skittles and some watermelon juice. But the reason why he's walking in between houses on this Sunday evening is because he's on the phone with his girlfriend. Now, he has a hoodie on because it's raining and it's dark, and George Zimmerman can't tell that. All he knows is he's had some Negroes walk in and out around those houses and rob people. All he saw was somebody in a dark hoodie walking in between houses. Trayvon doesn't know that people have robbed this neighborhood. He probably has no clue or cares. He's just walking through. So George doesn't know that. So this is a chance meeting right here. Now, let me tell you why this is a chance meeting. Because I got to get to the most contentious thing that everyone's talking about today. There is a line that George Zimmerman says that everyone's talking about. It's everybody's headline. I need everybody to hear this line. I want to get to, because everybody knows all the other stuff. So give me a second here. I want to get to this line that he says that everybody seems to be so ticked off about.
Several, more than a dozen, and hitting you hard.
I want to make sure that I get to it. You know what line it is.
Push myself down.
The line that he said is about this was God's will.
She was screaming that loud.
Whether or not this was God's will, he says, when Sean Hannity gives him an opportunity,
get your weapon and fire.
Was to suggest that whether or not, if he had to do it all over again, pretty much is what he asks him. I just want to try to find the audio exactly where it is.
there was one report, or a police report, that actually said you didn't know after you fired, you didn't think, you thought you missed.
Okay, I'll find the audio. But that's the part that's getting everybody. The part that's getting everybody upset is the fact that he said that this was God's will. So he couldn't say anything about what he would have changed. For me personally, smart answer by George Zimmerman. I don't know what would have happened. This happened. Of course, everybody in hindsight wants to say, wow, I wish I would have never ever got out of the car. Oh, I wish I would have never gone to Target. I'm not going to second guess anything. This is what happened and this is how it turned out. But let me, before I find the audio, let's just hear Trayvon Martin's family in an interview they did with Gretchen of Fox and Friends, one of my favorite shows in the morning. But listen to what this interview that took place.
I'm sure that you watched the interview in its entirety, and so you saw that there was an apology moment from George Zimmerman to you and to others. I want you to have a chance to listen to that and then respond.
I would tell them that, again, I'm sorry. I don't have, my wife and I don't have any children. I have nephews that I love more than life. I love them more than myself. And I know when they were born, it was a different, unique bond and love that I have with them. And I love my children even though they aren't born yet. And I am sorry that I can't imagine what it must feel like. And I pray for them daily.
Sabrina and Tracy, after hearing that apology directed to you, what is your response back to George Zimmerman?
I personally don't feel like it's sincere. I just feel like he's just saying anything that he wants to, and it's not sincere. It's not coming from his heart.
I don't feel any, it was sincere either. George Zimmerman had ample enough time to apologize to us for taking the life of our son before the first arrest, and to come and try to publicly apologize now, he's just trying to save face.
I want you to listen to another thing that he said, because he was asked by Sean Hannity whether or not he had any regrets with the way in which the night played out back in February. Here was his response.
Is there anything you regret? Do you regret getting out of the car to follow Trayvon that night? No, sir. Do you regret that you had a gun that night? No, sir. Do you feel you wouldn't be here for this interview if you didn't have that gun? No, sir. You feel you would not be here. I feel that it was all God's plan, and for me to second guess it or judge it, is there anything you might do differently in retrospect now that time has passed a little bit? No, sir.
He says, no, sir, there's nothing that I would change. Nothing that I would change. I'm sorry, George, bravo. I know some people are going to be ticked that I said that, but bravo. No, there's nothing that I would change, Sean. Yeah, and if I saw that little nigga traipsing through my neighborhood with a hoodie on in the middle of the night after some poor woman and her 9-month-old child got their house broken into, you know, there's nothing I would have changed. Had that nigger punched me in the nose again, I would whip out my gun and I would pop a cap in his skinny ass. Yes, Sean, if I had to do it all over again, if he was pounding my head into the pavement, telling me to shut up and you're going to die tonight, mother effer, I'd have still popped a cap in his skinny ass. No, I wouldn't have changed anything. It was God's will for me to put that nigger out of his misery.
So, Sabrina and Tracy, when you heard that it was part of God's plan in George Zimmerman's mind, what did you think?
I don't understand what he was thinking by saying that it was God's plan that he murdered our child. And I really don't understand what God he worships, because it's not the same God that I worship.
Sabrina?
And why would God have him to kill an unarmed teenager? I mean, it just makes no sense. So
what plan is it by, I mean, that's heartless to say that that was God's plan, that he took our child's life.
Of course, George Zimmerman's claim is that he acted in self-defense. I want to take you to the moment of the interview where he describes what he says happened that night.
He started bashing my head into the concrete sidewalk. As soon as he broke my nose, I started yelling for help.
How many times would you estimate that he punched you?
Several. More than a dozen.
Mr. Crump, you are the attorney for Trayvon Martin's parents. As a lawyer, does that sound like self-defense?
Gretchen, we have all this evidence. The state attorney is going to see this interview as a gift when they go to cross-examine George Zimmerman. And that is his version. Trayvon isn't here to tell his version what happened. And certainly everybody in America will concede that George Zimmerman's credibility is an issue.
In what way?
Well, you have all the things that he said to the court, and he has so many inconsistencies that he...
How about, Benjamin Crump, you come up with one of the things, actually, instead of all of these things that he said, which is what these morons do when they don't have a point. Well, there's, you know, what specifically, Gretchen asked him, well, all of these things, he doesn't even say it. She asked him flat out, what things are you talking about? That's all she asked. What are you talking about there, Negro? Please explain it to me.
In what way?
You have all the things that he said to the court, and he has so many inconsistencies that he's told Gretchen. We don't have enough time in your show to go through all the inconsistencies, but we need only look at the court's order to talk about George Zimmerman's credibility and the things he said in court during the bond hearing. His credibility, because it's his version, the only person that's saying Trayvon attacked him, there's no other objective evidence saying that. And you look at objective...
All right, I'm done with this Negro. I'm so sick and tired in his big lip jigaboo. I'm so sick of him. I'm so done. Let me break this down for you folks, and I'll let everybody else get in. They can chime in and make their comments. They can say whatever it is they want. But it's this simple. Let's talk about the proponents of evidence here and what it is that George Zimmerman could have done. Because that's what everybody's talking about. Sean Hannity is asking him, simple and plain, what he could have done if there was anything he could have done differently. Now, I want everybody to understand this. Trayvon Martin is an unarmed teenager. Trayvon Martin appears to have been followed by George Zimmerman. He runs. George Zimmerman follows him. If I were to go to the scenario with everybody else, he follows Trayvon Martin. He follows him. Can't find him. Trayvon walks up to him, says, what the F is your problem? George Zimmerman says, I ain't got no problem. Punches him in the mouth, gets him down on the ground. They wrestle. All of a sudden, and the kid is dead. If George Zimmerman would have been that much of a scumbag, me, if I was that much of a scumbag, because you know what kind of scumbag I am, it would have been this simple, ladies and gentlemen, this freaking simple. Trayvon Martin comes around the corner. He says, yo, you got a problem? Yes, nigga. That simple. That's all it would have been. It's all it would have been. If I was so scared of him, I was hunting him down. I wanted him dead. I was following him. He comes around the corner. Excuse me. You got a problem, my man? I would have said, yes, Trayvon. It would have been over. There'd have been nothing said. There'd have been no scuffle on the ground. There'd have been no broken nose. There'd have been no lacerations on the back of my head. Real simple. Hey, mister, got a problem? Yep, nigga. Over. But that's not how it happened. It's not how it happened. It could have happened like that. Remember, punched in the nose, hit on the ground, lacerations on the back of the head. Oh, you're going to die tonight, mother effer. Grabs the gun, shoots him after a scuffle. After a scuffle. But George Zimmerman is a scumbag. How many ways am I have to play it out for you, folks? I'm running down the street. Are you following him? Yes. We don't need you to do that. All right. Hey, excuse me. What's your problem, sir? I ain't got no problem. Oh, you got a problem now? No, I don't. Eat that. Eat that. Let's go to the phones. 347-308-8701. Who we got on the line here?
Justin.
Hey, what's up, Jeff? How are you?
Is it Justin?
Oh, hey, Justin. I'm sorry. What's up, Justin? So, come on. He had an opportunity to shoot him anytime he wanted to. He didn't. He let him scuffle all over the ground. A fall over the ground onto him. You know, he's got a broken nose, and he's got lacerations on the back of his head. He could have shot Trayvon Martin anytime he wanted to. Why suffer the injuries? I could have ended this real quick. Sorry, bro. Did you just punch me in the nose? That, I appear to have a bloody nose. All right, I see where this is going. See it. Come on, man. If he was really out to kill him, why didn't he just do it then?
What interview did you watch?
I watched the same interview everybody else watched.
Did you have your glasses on while you were watching?
I was watching the whole thing. The question is, remember, George Zimmerman always had a gun. George Zimmerman has always been a racist who was trigger happy, according to everybody else. George Zimmerman.
You're absolutely right.
Why didn't he just
take
a real simple, real plain when Trayvon said, "Hey, my man, you got a problem?" "Yep, nigga, I got a problem. You in my neighborhood legally."
Hold on. Okay, now let me break this down for you. On the profiling, George Zimmerman, in his own words, that he thought that Trayvon looked suspicious because it was raining.
It was raining, and he was walking
and
around.
Is that a reason to look at somebody suspicious because it was raining?
Why not?
He walked leisurely. He didn't look like a resident who got caught in the mail, caught in the rain getting their mail. And he didn't look like a fitness fanatic who didn't work out in the rain. And then he lied. He told a bold-faced-ass lie. He said Trayvon was walking in between houses. If you look at that complex, there are no houses. There are rows of condos together. If he had been walking in between houses, plural, as George Zimmerman said he was, he'd be on the outside of the complex.
Wait. Make this argument for me, JC. We know, okay, forget about, everybody says Trayvon can't tell no tales because he's dead, right? But we know for a fact that George Zimmerman had a broken nose and had lacerations on the back of his head. We all know that, right?
No, wait. We haven't even gotten to that part yet. We're talking about him lying on why he followed the kid. When he said he never followed him. He said that the breathing that we heard was the wind blowing against his phone when he got out of the car. Yet, when the 911 guy asked him, was he following him, he said yes, and he asked him not to do that.
Okay, I'm not disputing that, but the bottom line is, remember what all of these things have said, you know?
No, but
remember
understand
everything that everybody said about George Zimmerman. He hunted him down like a rabid dog. Remember that?
No,
hunted
that's
him,
Trayvon.
Hunted him down like a rabid dog.
I wouldn't concede that. No. See, I don't think he hunted him down like a rabid dog. However, he's still murky in the waters as to what happened and where he was as opposed to where the incident took place. Now, we all know the address where the address of the actual house backyard where the incident took place. Now, from where he said he was going, if he was leaving the complex, he saw him over by the pool house. And he said he was going to his street to get the address to give the cop because he wanted the cop to call him. He lives at 1950, which is way the hell on the other side of the complex. I mean, way the hell. It's as far away from the incident in the complex that you can actually get.
So why didn't Trayvon? Well, hold on. If that's the case, okay? If this is really, really the case that you're trying to make.
Those are George Zimmerman's words, not mine.
Okay, I understand that. But hold on. But the argument was this.
Trayvon was hunted down like a rabid dog. He was shot in the street. He was racially profiled.
And again, in my definition of racial profiling, which is extremely simple, as I've expressed several times right here on this show, I always ask the same question. Hey, I ain't waiting for this kid to punch me in the face, drag me on the ground, knock me the hell out, almost put me unconscious. It's over. Over.
Reese. Hey, did you make this argument for me? Was George Zimmerman wearing anything that said, I'm security?
Oh, so what? That's not even going to fly here. Hold on.
How was Trayvon not to know who this man is? How was Trayvon not to get upset that this guy is actually following him and not stand his own ground and retaliate
wait.
If you want to make that argument?
I didn't suggest that, but hold on. I didn't suggest that. I'm going to answer this question. I'm going to do this, okay? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a call, but just to answer that briefly, I'm going to take another call. But to answer that briefly, it's real simple. This is the best way to answer this, okay? The best way to answer this. You said that George Zimmerman, here's how I want to put it. So I can just put it in plain terms. George Zimmerman, or Trayvon Martin for that matter. Trayvon Martin walks up to George Zimmerman and says, what's your effing problem, and punches him in the nose. If Trayvon Martin in any way was in fear of his life, why confront a guy in the first place? That's a bigger question. But let me take this call real quick. I'm going to take another call. Our number is 347-308-8701. Who do we have on the line here?
Hey, you got Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. Listen, I'm going to put this whole thing to rest here, man, because the whole thing about this case is who was the aggressor. It doesn't matter that George Zimmerman followed him from a distance. That's not the case here. Trayvon had a right to go into his father's girlfriend's home. He chose not to. He stepped to George Zimmerman as a man, like a man, not a child. Everybody wants to think, oh, he's 17, didn't have a gun. Well, George Zimmerman didn't know he didn't have a gun. If you step to the man,
hold on. Jeff?
Jeff?
Yeah.
Go ahead, you respond.
Jeff, I got him. Jeff, there's no evidence that he stepped to him. There's only George Zimmerman's word. We're talking about a man that's covering his ass.
Well, wait a minute,
There's no evidence that Trayvon approached him.
And there's no evidence that Trayvon didn't approach him.
George Zimmerman said it on the George Zimmerman said it on the 911 tape. He was talking to the police dispatcher. He said, he's coming towards me. That's stepping like a man. Everybody wants to think that.
So without there being any evidence that Trayvon...
He walked by him. Listen to it. He walked by him. Where George was parked, where, according to George, where he was parked, and from the entrance to where the incident took place, Trayvon had to walk by him to get to where he needed to go.
Okay, but JC, why didn't Trayvon go to his father's fiance or girlfriend's house? Why was he still just wandering around the neighborhood? You don't know whether Trayvon...
George Zimmerman did not stop him from going home. Trayvon Martin made the conscious decision to go up on George Zimmerman. When he did that, he became the aggressor.
That's not a
fact. It's on the 911 tape.
But wait a minute, guys. Here's what Jeff is making a valid point about. Jeff's making a very valid point.
That point's not valid, Jeff.
Okay.
His point is
JC,
not valid.
Wait,
he said he's coming towards me. But if George is in the way between where Trayvon was coming from and where his father lives, obviously he's going to go in that direction. That's the direction that he has to go in anyway.
Okay, well, JC, let me let you be the forensic scientist on this one. How did the two of them meet up again based upon what we know now? How do you believe that confrontation happened? Do you believe that Trayvon walked up to George Zimmerman and say, yo, man, what's your problem? Or do you believe that George Zimmerman found Trayvon and then stepped to him, causing the confrontation? How do you believe that took place?
I'm going to tell you how I believe that it took place. And to me, it seems reasonable, and I don't know if it seems reasonable to anybody else. But from according to George's words last night, from where he was parked, he was about 100 feet away. From where he should have been parked to where the actual entrance, where the actual incident took place, was far more than 100 feet. And in fact, it was closer to Trayvon's father's place, or his girlfriend's place, than where George Zimmerman was parked. How did the incident happen that far away if George Zimmerman hadn't followed him?
No, you're talking about...
Okay,
no,
wait a minute.
You're
Let
talking
me tell you,
about
can I,
schematics.
Can I tell him why, though?
That.
Okay, the schematics...
Why is that schematic?
Wait, JC, let me finish. The schematics that you're talking about, according to George Zimmerman, because Trayvon is not here to speak for himself. According to George Zimmerman, he went the way he did and not back to his truck immediately because he wanted to go to a street where he could find an address to give the police officers to meet him at. And I'm assuming...
But you hear that in the 911 call. Nobody can dispute that. In the 911
call. Okay, now listen. I'm going to answer that one. And I was kind of hoping that I was waiting for that point to come up. Now, according to George Zimmerman, where his truck was parked, to get to that street, it was a straight line in between two long complexes. If he had gone there to get an address, he'd be in a total opposite direction from where the actual incident took place.
Okay,
the actual incident
JC,
took place.
Hold on,
let me finish, Reese. Let me finish. The incident happened down the block and around the corner from where George Zimmerman was supposed to have been. How does that happen?
JC, you're making an argument for something that makes no sense to what the question is as far as I'm concerned. I said this the whole time. And I'm going to bring Poochman and Laia, two people who I used to work with out in Philadelphia. I'm going to bring them in at the top of the hour because I want to hear from them because, you know, Philadelphia used to be a hotbed of violence, and I'm pretty sure these two have a little take on that.
And there's definitely a hotbed for racism.
Right, and a hotbed of racism. I'm going to bring that in. But I want you to hear what I'm saying, JC. And I know what I was saying was in jest, but the bottom line was this. Very simple, very plain. Jeff, stay on the line. Everybody else, stay on the line. I promise you I'm going to get to you. Because we got plenty of show to go into. But break this down. George Zimmerman's walking down the street. Okay? George Zimmerman walking down the street. He sees this kid. He thinks it's suspicious. I don't care whether or not George Zimmerman is racist. If you want to call him racist, call him racist. Okay? Walks down the street. Calls this non-emergency number. Says there's this black guy going in between everybody's houses. We got a lot of Negroes coming through here robbing people's houses. Okay? He jumps out of the car. Police officer said, what are you doing? You following him? Yeah, I'm following him. He goes, we need you to do that. So he says, all right, I'm going to walk back. Trayvon walks up to him, says to him, yo, my man, what you following me for? He says, no, I ain't following you. I ain't got no problem with you. Punches him in the nose. As far as I'm concerned, if George Zimmerman is a racist who don't like niggas, is a racist that don't like niggas, it ends this fast. Yo, my man, you got a problem? Yeah, nigga, I got a problem. And it's over. That's it. It's real, real simple. It's over. Hi. Yes, nigga, I have a problem. Eat that. Get on the ground. Okay? I don't have to get in a tussle with you. I don't have to get a broken nose. I don't have to, you know, fight for my gun. I don't like you, nigga. You're in my hood. A lot of niggas like you have been robbing people and been bothering women. Let me put an end to this so I don't have to worry about scuffling with you.
And if it was that much of an issue that Trayvon wanted to, that George Zimmerman wanted to, that he intended to kill Trayvon Martin purposefully, then there wouldn't have been an incident where Trayvon was on top of him and then they were tussling in the grass. George Zimmerman could have easily just pulled out his weapon and been like, check it out, my man. The police are on their way. I ain't got no issues with you, but stay back.
Yeah, pull out the gun. Get on the ground, nigga. I got a gun. Get on the ground. I whip out the gun. Get your nigga ass on the ground.
Now, I'm not saying the N-word.
I don't care. Drop the watermelon juice and the Skittles and get your ass on the ground. That's all I had to do. But he didn't do that. There's a scuffle. somebody's bruised in the back of the head, you know, somebody gets a nose broken. But no, that didn't happen.
Because he didn't even have to fight with
He
didn't
have
to fight
have to
with Trayvon.
That. He was always the aggressor.
He could have either shot him or just pulled out on him.
Let's go to the top of the hour. I got to bring in Pooch and Laia for the top of the hour. And Jeff, stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. I want to bring you into this.
As far as I'm concerned, they never will. So you can tell your stiff suits up there in Washington, D.C. that they ain't going to change us one bit. Unless it's over my dead body. Or a lot of dead niggers.
Streets on the radio. And we are back. You got at least another hour and a half to do. I promise you, we got plenty to do. I got to bring in my good friends, Pooch and Laia. Used to work over at Power 100.3, The Beat, in Philadelphia. They're on the line. Pooch and Laia, do I got you?
You got us, baby. We ride, we getting it. We ride, we getting it. We ride, we ride, we ride, we getting it.
Someone's been drinking. Where's my girl, Laia?
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry that he had that ignorant moment while we were talking about such a situation. Are you serious?
Like, well, you got your boobies covered up tonight, babe. I'm bored.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay.
Yo, I just want to say I'm such an effing fan, and you haven't lost a step. That's what I was telling Laia as we said, hello. Go, Reese. Go, Reese. He's free, people. But he's a black Republican.
And as you said that, I thought to myself, oh, wow, that's interesting that Reese is saying all that, and I wonder how he would feel if that was his son. But, damn, that's interesting. Right.
What I would feel like if it was my son, Laia, if it was my son who was calling himself a no limit nigga online, if he was caught, if he was kicked out of school because he had a burglary weapon and women's jewelry.
So possible for your son. So possible.
Well, if that were the case and my son was out there being a menace and all of a sudden he got himself into a situation that ended up being killed. Look, his parents aren't foreign to this. They know that their little Negroes are getting in trouble all the time, and they're getting bullets put in them. They're lucky he lived to be 17, considering the lifestyle he was living.
Oh, my God. Wait, let me put my phone down, because I need to give you a round of applause.
Once again, Laia, this is the man who thinks Mitt Romney is our next president.
Well, he's
this
going
is the man who's already, he's already claiming a victory, Laia.
Wait,
seriously.
Mitt Romney is going to be the next president because Obama.
Baby girl, I guess you were drinking the same shit Trayvon Martin was allegedly drinking from that black Republican you're sitting next to.
Yeah, that's crazy talk. Y'all, I mean, you know, that's good luck with the mission, yo. Is this like a Stephen Cole? No, I can't. There's no way people can think like that.
It's Reese. Like, he's still hitting jump shots from 40 feet out. Okay.
Tell the truth, guys.
He's here to antagonize people like you, Laia. Real strong, independent sisters who are independent, liberal as a motherfucker, and proud of it.
Not the cursing.
Sorry, Reese. I apologize. I just got so used to internet alternative radio, I thought we were all the way alternative, and I've been hanging with the white folks, so I am white power. I am on my Wayne Brady 2012, okay?
Okay. For those of you who don't know who Pooch is, please check out PoochFM.com. You can see this high yellow Negro without his braids.
With his blue eyes.
Yes, his blue eyes. Pooch, I don't know whether or not you remember. I used to rag on you because I used to call your braids. I used to call them the Allen Iverson starter kit.
I remember that. That was awesome. That's why they were scared of us. They were really scared of us. Yeah, but how about this one? Take this one because you know what I look like. I got a cleft chin. I got blue eyes. I got blonde hair. Not only am I bloodline is Jesus Christ himself, but I am Captain America. I am here to save plenty of hoes like Laia on the phone and like that other chick I have yet to bang in the cheap hotel because she has yet to deserve a five-star resort like Revel.
Whoa, who's a hoe?
He said plenty of hoes. Isn't that what he said?
You can't really listen to Pooch. You just got to let it glaze past you. But real quick, because we were talking about cornrows, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. When are you too old? I mean, it's, you know, when are you too old?
Cornrows are played out. If Meek Mill's cut his cornrows off, you better not be wearing cornrows. If not, we're going to let Rick Ross lock you up in his old jail cell and put his penis in your butt cheeks.
Oh,
all right.
Oh,
thank you, Pooch. Again, please send your comments to poochfm.com.
Thank you for having us. Thank
you. Yeah, Rich, we just want to listen. I didn't know how, you know, I'm just happy for you. I want to listen, man. I just want to fall back and listen, and I want to link you up a lot here. Like, thank you so much for calling today, and you just don't know the audience. I can see it, Reese. Like, the studio is set up like the Pentagon. I see how people click on.
Pull your mouth back from the phone.
Oh, I'm just saying, Reese, you brought so much attention to the radio station this morning and to the morning show. I really, really felt like star. Like, really, I didn't have to say nothing but some wise-ass cracks and let you run the show.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm not here to start no trouble, but Reese, I'm a fan and a friend. And I'm so happy that I can say another F word, that my brother is free. And Wolf Blitzer, whatever your name is, sir, I'm sorry you broke the story about a hip-hop DJ that was popular doing Boston talk radio that was really in people like Rush Limbaugh's You Know What, because, how about this man get on television?
Hold on.
How about this man gets major syndication deals? They didn't want that. So they were happy that they reported that story. You know, real quick, before the truth came out, when the truth is out.
Laia.
So much time. Yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah.
And thank you for that, Pooch. Laia, you're in the D.C. area?
Yeah, I'm back and forth, D.C., Philly. Yep, on the radio in D.C., WPGC sometimes.
PGC?
Yeah, PGC.
Oh, okay, all right, Laia, you know, we need to connect because we are literally in the D.C. area, and, you know, you're my girl, you know, my black military.
You're in the D.C. area? I didn't know that.
What?
So, crossover, Nigga Reese, you got to do me a favor. Since I linked you over, Laia, I know the power that you got. And, sweetheart, you're awesome, too. I have yet to meet you. I was joking. You're an awesome broadcaster. Reese knows talent. You're a talented sister. You're probably independent. Hold it down, and you sound great. Go get them, girls. Go get them, dude. Go get these radio jobs because these talent, these broadcasters, they're so lame and they're so cocky and they don't know real radio and they sound horrible. That's why your numbers are up, Reese. That's why our numbers are up on the internet. And that's why Ryan Seacrest, actually, did you guys know this? Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest is the majority stockholder in iHeartRadio?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I do know that.
No, I just want to say this, though. Reese, before you link up, Laia, since I hooked up this connection, now you're about to have two sisters on your program. That's going to be, like, your show's, you're about to be at it. Just please, let me produce from afar. Let me go in the streets like Izzo did. You know what I mean? When you guys blow up. I just want to say this. For that, you owe me this. You owe me to put on a black hoodie, right? And me and Laia are going to drop you off in Tyson's Corner. We're going to drop you off where actually CIA ops live. Yeah, that character that Sean Penn played and that actress, they lived in Tyson's Corner, and you know, in what's the other part of Virginia? Laia, that's out there. We're going to drop you off, Reese, with a watermelon can, and we're going to put you in a hoodie and a bag of Skittles. And I want you to walk around blasting Tupac out of your iPod with those speakers in your hoodie, you know, pocket. And I want to see if you're not Trayvon Martin, brother.
Wait. You know what's going to happen, though, Pooch? If
that
happens, them white people in Tyson's and in McLean are just going to run the other way. Them white people don't get down like that out there.
Yeah, but you know, Reese actually had a couple celebrations of White Girl Tuesday, so I'm pretty sure he has something written on his penile that says, "I'm open for business, white women. Here's a real man bingo that sounds like daddy."
Laia, when are you on at PGC?
Oh, my God. I am on weekends, Sundays 2 to 6.
Okay, Sundays 2 to 6. Okay, look out for me, sweetheart. I promise you, we will give you a holler. I'm glad to finally be back in touch with you. And, Pooch, you know you are always welcome here on Recent Radio. I'm going to get back to some calls because everybody.
Now remember you said that when you're working back in New York or L.A. in Chicago, buddy. Remember when I show up like Fred? Remember when Howard left Fred in Hartford? He said, "I'll be back, Fred. I'll be back." Well, if you don't come back and get me, I'm showing up, brother, in a Trayvon hoodie, and a Cory Booker 2016 T-shirt. How about that?
I'm putting him on hold. Pooch man, let me get a word in. I promise you. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, my friend, because of the support and always the support that you have given me, and the support that you've always shown me and the love that you've always shown me allow me to spew my opinions no matter how angry your audience may get. Even back in the terrestrial radio days, you have always shown me love. I will always return that love to you. I am a loyal, loyal, loyal friend of Pooch and La'ia. Always will be, always have been.
Okay. Likewise, ditto. Go all get right. him, brother. I'm going.
All right.
Wipe these
hold
out.
On, hold
wipe
on. I'm putting you guys on hold. Stick around. Stick around. I got to get to these guys here. Okay. So I'm going to bring Jeff back in, and I'm going to bring JC back in. Then I'm going to bring Mike and Edward in because I know they've got strong opinions about this since I promised that I would talk about this. In fact, let me get to this new call real quick. The number's 347-308-8701. Who's this we got on the phone? Who's this?
This is Cindy.
Hello, Cindy.
Hi, how are you, Reese?
How are you?
I'm great. I wanna focus my opinion on George Zimmerman.
Sure.
Tonight on Jane Velaz Mitchell, he claims that this was God's will for him to kill that boy. I have a hard time agreeing with that.
Cindy, you think that there's a problem with God's will being invoked in this? And here's why I ask you that. When someone dies, when someone is killed, when our military goes out there and they get into an exchange with the enemy, and a soldier probably loses a limb and doesn't lose his life, but in order to save his comrades in battle, a man will say, "I survived because it was God's will." I mean, when I say it was God's will, I can use God's will for anything, is that we all believe that everything that happens in our life, if you believe in God, you believe that everything that transforms in your life is the work of God. So here it is. He's not saying that God willed him to kill Trayvon Martin. He's saying that how it turned out and the outcome of this event and the backlash that has happened to his life, he's saying it's all God's will. The fact that he is living in fear, the fact that his family's living in fear, he does not question God's will. This is all God's will. What happened to him was a matter of fact. It's a matter of God's will. Now, can you accept it in that fashion, or are you misinterpreting what he's saying?
I can accept it in that fashion. If it was spoken that fashion, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. But I was thinking on the realm of what kind of God is he thinking of? Because my God's a loving God. Now, I understand what you're saying about war and such like that, and people do get killed. But I know that the God that I know is a loving God, and he saves people. And I know that God's will sometimes is for people to die.
Right. We have to accept the glory of God in all forms, Cindy. We have to take the glory of God when it brings us favor and when it brings us faith and when it brings us failure. We have to we have to deal with it in all aspects of God's will. I look at my personal situation, I always say, this is God's will. I never look at God and say, damn you, God, for putting me through this. God wants me to see another side to this. George Zimmerman may find another way to see this. It's unfortunate because Trayvon Martin's family refuses to see the obvious here. Trayvon was not an angel. And I'm sure neither was George Zimmerman.
I'm not saying he was an angel. I'm just saying, just be careful how you use God and what you're saying.
Well, if I were to ask you this, Cindy, and I'll take this last question. If you're willing to stay on hold, please, I want to welcome you to stay on. But let me put it to you this way. If you were to look at the lives of Trayvon Martin versus the life of George Zimmerman, George Zimmerman was a watchman who mentored children, who cared and loved people who were in danger, the Sherman Wares of the world, a homeless man attacked by a police officer's son. He was out there diligently doing things that were positive for himself and for the community and his family. Trayvon Martin was out there calling himself a no-limit nigga and was smoking weed and had, women's jewelry and burglary items. Are you sitting up here telling me that George Zimmerman does not have a better credibility as a human being than Trayvon Martin did? Are we really looking at Trayvon Martin as the innocent person and looking at George Zimmerman as far as a man, as far as their lives before they met that night, the scope of their lives, you're going to say that George Zimmerman's life was not a promise, a life of promise, where Trayvon Martin's was not?
No, I think that when he says about that when he was told not to follow him, that's the part that really bothers me. He just went ahead and did it anyways. I understand that he was asked to try to help people, but that part really bothers me when he was told not to follow him.
I can understand that, Cindy. I know how everybody has a problem with that, but that's been misinterpreted in so many ways. Thank you, Cindy. Hold on for us. We're going to pull you back in. Let me bring back Jeff and JC, because I'm about to bring in Edward and Mike in a second. In fact, you know what? Before I bring in JC, let's bring in Mike, because I'm sure Mike and Jeff agree here one aspect. What's up, Mike?
Hey.
I'm sorry for the delay, Mike.
Yeah, I like this Jeff guy. He kind of kicks ass. He reminds me of somebody. But, you know, there's this whole thing with the God's will. If he had just said fate, I think nobody would have anything to say about it. You know, if you look at things like everything in your life happens for a reason, fate, God's will, kismet, whatever, that's pretty much standard. That's how the guy's dealing with this situation he's going through.
Right.
But, you know, to watch the Martins, who obviously were incompetent parents. I mean, there's no way this kid was into what he was doing if they were on the ball sharp parents. For them to totally blow off the fact that their son was witnessed violently assaulting somebody, beating the snot out of him, they just blow that off. And he didn't have to shoot my baby. Well, your baby didn't have to beat some guy half to death.
Jeff. I know you're probably going to echo that, but I need to play something for you because, Mike, you bring up a very valid point.
Can I just say something real quick?
Go ahead. Because I want to
so
play this song.
I agree with you, Mike, but I don't agree with the comment that you made about his parents. Because bad kids
His parents suck. His daddy was off banging some new scooch in Sanford. Totally blowing his kid off. His mama's letting him run wild in the street doing YouTube fights and stealing all kinds of crap. His parents dropped the ball.
They did.
Wait. What if they tried? What, we don't know how their home lives were.
Oh, wait,
Bill,
so his trying, I don't want to step on you, but Trayvon was sent up to Sanford because he got suspended from school, right?
Right.
Because he was messing up. Like his daddy said, hey, yell at your boy like a Negro in the streets.
Right.
So this kid who is so bad and needs supervision, where was his daddy on that Sunday? Out having dinner with his new bitch, leaving Trayvon at home to go run around town.
Wow.
So you can talk about his daddy if you want to. That's fine.
All right.
But leave his mama out of it. I mean, she lost her son, you know.
His mama is not the one who raised him. He had a stepmama who's been cut out of the whole deal.
We don't know if he was just simply an incorrigible child because I was deaf. I mean, you know, my life with my mother's relationship and mine weren't perfect. And, you know, she did the best that she could, but I was incorrigible. I did whatever I wanted to do. I didn't give a damn what anybody
said. Well, then for them to show all this concern now just strikes me as bullshit, pardon my language. They're more concerned with him now than they ever were in his life.
I want to play this audio from the Today Show, Matt Lauer interviewing Trayvon Martin's family. I think this goes right to the point that Mike was making about the parents. And no one the journalists are not asking those questions about Trayvon and as far as his violence, the fact that he was being beaten down to the ground, and witnesses say that. But
nobody was vetting him like they were vetting George
Zimmerman. Although Matt Lauer gets into it a little bit, I want to play this real quick.
Trayvon Martin's parents, Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin, are with us now along with their attorney, Benjamin Crump. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Ms. Fulton and Mr. Martin, did you watch the entire interview last night?
Yes, we did.
And did you find anything particularly revealing about what Mr. Zimmerman said or the way he said it?
I found a lot of things revealing about what he said. First and foremost, he had no regards for Trayvon's life. And he don't regret taking Trayvon's life.
had George Zimmerman stayed in his vehicle, Trayvon would be with us here today.
I don't know that he said he doesn't regret taking his life. He says he wouldn't have done anything differently. He also said he's very sorry that you buried your child. He says, quote, I can't imagine what it must feel like, and I pray for them daily. And then he also said this, and it's getting a lot of attention this morning, I feel it was all God's plan. Ms. Fulton, what's your reaction to that?
I really think that's ridiculous. I wish Trayvon was here to tell his side of the story, and I don't believe that's God's plan for him to kill an innocent teenager.
He says that there's nothing I mentioned he would have done differently. He claimed that he wasn't actually pursuing your son that night, that he only got out of his car and was going in the same direction, and he got out of his car so he could get an exact address to give to the police. Do you think that's what happened that evening?
Matt, it speaks for itself when you listen to the objective evidence. Just listen to the 911 tapes. There are so many inconsistencies in the things that George Zimmerman is saying. The state attorney is going to look at that interview that he did last night as a gift when they cross-examine him.
We don't know who initiated the confrontation between your son and George Zimmerman. Only George Zimmerman is alive to know that right now. We do know it turned violent. We do know both reached for a gun. We know that it ended with your son being shot. George Zimmerman says he was punched more than a dozen times, and that at one point your son said to him, you are going to die tonight, and then an expletive. Mr. Martin, Ms. Fulton, can you imagine your son saying those words? Is it possible for you to imagine that, even in the heat of a fight like this?
No, Trayvon is a child. He's a 17-year-old child, and I can't imagine him saying something like that. He was fighting for his life.
Those are the words of George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman said they were fighting over the gun. There are no witnesses to say that they were fighting over the gun. George Zimmerman is here to tell his story. Trayvon is dead.
Yeah, but I understand, but are you answering that question through a parent's love and unconditional approval? Is it possible that Trayvon said those words?
Matt, it's just George Zimmerman's version. You listen to his words, he says so many things. It's about his credibility, and I think everybody in America would say his credibility cannot be relied upon.
And
Benjamin could play for the Los Angeles Dodgers, because he dodged the hell out of that question.
Yeah.
Can you honestly say that you believe that Trayvon Martin wouldn't use language like that?
He used language like that all the time. There's proof.
Jeff, Jeff, you're
going
to sit up here and say that you're going to sit up here and say that Trayvon Martin doesn't use language like that?
Okay, here's the deal with all the language and everything. Every child, I raised three myself, every child says those things. In the heat of battle, they'll say anything, okay, just to intimidate. Yes, I believe he had the right, he said that. And I believe that George Zimmerman had no choice when Trayvon was on top of him, and a witness comes out and sees Trayvon on top of him. He had no choice at that time. When somebody that was 6 foot tall comes to you and there's not that much illumination, you don't know how old they are. You're not going to ask for ID.
Yeah, exactly. You're getting your butt kicked.
You know, you're thinking that they're over 21 or something. I don't know. Somebody 6 foot tall comes out to me. I'm not going to question his age.
His parents still refuse to acknowledge the beating.
The whole thing about this is, if this was a white man, a white kid, this wouldn't have been that big of a deal. If Trayvon was 21 or older, this wouldn't have been a big deal. It's the fact that everybody's saying he's 17. That's what I get pissed off about. No, when you step like a man, you're not 17. You're a man at that point. And you should deal with whatever comes up on you.
Well, he didn't even fight like a man. That's the thing. You know, I'd given him one punch. If he was that goddamn terrified, you punch that man in the nose and you run. You don't have to jump on him and start beating the hell out of him. And
exactly.
The way put him on top of him.
That's his style.
So he didn't fight like a man. He fought like a punk. Yeah.
Exactly. And, bottom line here is, again, Trayvon Martin had the better of him, punching him in the nose, could have ran and just gotten home. And then George Zimmerman, again, doesn't get into any particular situation where he gets punched in the nose and he stumbles or whatever he is, he never reaches for the gun. He doesn't reach for the gun until the last moment when he's on top of him and he's pounding on top of him. That is the part that no one seems to realize. And the fact that these parents will not acknowledge the behavior of this boy, for them to even suggest, that don't sound like Trayvon, he wouldn't talk like that. Who are you kidding?
Yeah, didn't he? Yeah. But he had a mouthful of gold, and he called himself No Limit Nigga. He was on video, like, fighting with people. He was a little thug. His parents either know he's a thug and they're lying, or they know he's a thug and they don't give a shit, pardon my language, because they think that's okay.
Every parent comes out and says, oh, my God, my child was a good child, and they got a record longer than my arm. They always do that on TV.
Yeah, you never see, oh, you know, yeah, he was a piece of crap. It's always, you know, oh, my, he wouldn't do that. My baby was good when it's on video, you know?
And they don't, and the media, the sad thing about it is that the media doesn't make a big deal out of, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about all of this, and kids, little kids that are, you know, so what, he's 17. Little kids that are 5, 6, you know, 7 are out in the street in Compton somewhere getting shot every day in a drive-by.
And you know how many,
that's normal. Don't worry about it. Like,
you know how many people were killed with fists and feet in the state of Florida last year?
I don't know.
62.
Wow.
Fists and feet.
Let's bring in Edward. Edward in Connecticut. I'm sorry to keep you on hold for so long, Edward.
No problem, man.
All right, I gotta go.
Okay, you gotta go. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
There's one thing I want to. People keep bringing up that they think that this guy Zimmerman racially profiled Trayvon. What I want to say about this is, so what? It is perfectly legal for a private citizen to profile in this particular situation.
Right.
You know, and that George Zimmerman was a security guard. So what? He could have been a private citizen. It doesn't make a difference. The only thing that matters is what happened in those unknown moments between him and Trayvon. And right now, the physical evidence shows that Trayvon beat this man, busted the back of his head like a watermelon, punched him in his nose, and prevented him from escaping, which let him have the legal right to blow this dude away.
Yeah, everybody glosses over that. I mean, you're totally right, Edward.
They're trying
to act like an ass-whipping is no big deal, but that wasn't ass-whipping. That was an assault. That was felony assault. Could have been murder.
Let's bring Cindy back in. Cindy, based upon all of that, and you just heard the interview with Matt Lauer and Trayvon Martin's family, when they exclaimed that, you know, that doesn't sound like Trayvon. Trayvon wouldn't talk like that. Do you think that they're oblivious, or are they just flat-out lying?
They're just flat-out lying because they can't accept that their son would ever be that way. Most parents are like that, but you have to look at the facts. I mean, if he was a thug, he was a thug. And you have to say he was.
Yeah, that's where my biggest problem lies in all of this, is that Matt Lauer is the first person I've ever heard even ask that question, hey, does this sound like your son? If I was Matt Lauer, I know everyone's trying to handle the family with kid gloves, but I would have said, listen, what about the reports of your son online calling himself a No Limit Nigga? What about, you know, the fact that he was suspended from school with the robbery tool, women's jewelry, the THC in his system? Do you know your son smoked marijuana? I would have asked those questions, but people refuse to.
Because they have to. They can't. They don't. I mean, you know, people would. There would be a slew of people that would feel real sour behind that.
But so what?
Then you tell those people to sack up and grow a pair.
Well, I agree. I agree with everybody on that, but unfortunately, it doesn't always go that way.
You know, these people. You know, this Sabrina Fulton didn't raise Trayvon Martin, right?
That's correct. He lived with his father, Tracy.
Yeah, and his stepmom, who you haven't seen, they've cut out because she ain't getting any of this money they're getting with the Trayvon Martin Foundation. But his stepmom raised him for 15 years.
Really?
Yeah, Sabrina Fulton is, like, recently in the picture.
So she's kind of an estranged mother.
Yeah, she just shows up because that peanut-headed, you know, mush-mouth crump figures he'll bring the biological mama and the daddy together to be the unified front. But you ain't seen his current girlfriend, have you?
No.
The one whose house he was freeloading in or whatever.
Damn, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
Mike,
all right, let's bring – JC has got the biggest issue with all of this, so I need to bring him in here. JC, come on. So you've heard all of that. Give me your opinion here.
No, freeze. That is like the biggest bunch of garbage in a long time. Now, let me ask you a question. Did O.J. – did we go after the Columbine shooter's parents? Did they drop the ball? Let me finish.
He brought up the Columbine.
Regardless as to what his life was prior to, comparing their lives as to who should be dead, actually none of that really matters. What matters is what actually happened on that night. Regardless of what kind of kid he was, that doesn't mean that his life should have ended.
Well, hold on, JC.
What pisses me off with the whole George Zimmerman incident is, even if he made a mistake, is the fact that he won't own up to it.
Okay, well, he's owned up to the fact that he wishes he didn't have to kill their son. He says that at the end of the interview.
Reese, that was a half-hearted, arrogant-ass apology.
Okay, fine. We'll dispute that later. We'll dispute
he was scared. Like I saw that. And he was what do you say to somebody? What do you really say? How do you get on TV or get anywhere else and say, I'm sorry I killed your kid, man. I'm sorry that I bucked a shot in your son.
No.
I'd have given him the Samuel Jackson from A Time to Kill.
Wow.
You don't say sorry. You say it's God's will.
Well, he says that the events as they took place, he believes that he is not questioning what took place. He's not going to do this whole thing about what people are asking him to do. If you had to do it all over again, would you have done it differently? He's not going to make that argument. He's not going to sit up here and go, I can't change what God's will is.
And you know what else is killing me? What else is killing me is that it's true, we only have George Zimmerman's side of the story.
Two witnesses who saw Trayvon beating shit out of him. That's the crux of that.
All this other stuff
is not worth a squirrel fart in the wind.
Okay, guys.
If he followed him, he should have beaten his ass.
No, you can't
do that.
If he
followed him, he
you can't commit felony assault because somebody follows you, period.
I don't know what world you live in, man.
You can't do that.
Are you not going to?
No, you cannot do that.
If you can't.
That's against the law. JC. Wow. Did you get the part I said about the first punch?
What the hell is standing your ground?
The first punch is okay. JC, he can punch him one time. That's not stand your ground. That is not stand your ground. Stand your ground does not mean you get to come back and look for trouble. Okay?
JC,
it also doesn't mean you get to sit on somebody and beat them half to death. That's not stand your ground.
Guys, I read you the law. Guys, I'm sorry, I got to cut. I apologize for cutting off your mic. I hate doing that. But JC, Mike's asking a very valid question here. Okay, Mike has already said. Mike said, bottom line, he agrees with you that the first punch is okay. He's saying that he was followed. He says, do you have a problem? George Zimmerman says, no, I don't have a problem. Yes, he believes that he's in danger. Okay. If Trayvon Martin really believes that he's in danger, why swing on him? Why punch him in the nose? If he believes that he's in danger, why come back to him? Why get on top of him and then pummel him to the ground? All I'm asking you is this, and answer this one question, JC, instead of going everywhere else, answer this one question. When he gets on top of George Zimmerman, and he's got him in the, on the ground. He's obviously got the advantage. What's the purpose of then, therefore, pounding his head on the ground? Pounding his head on the ground and beating down on him like the witness claims, like an MMA fighter. What's the purpose of going that far? Do you believe that that's justified?
Reese, where's their written rules in fighting? Where's their written rule in fighting? You don't know, and listen, we only have, again, George Zimmerman's word of what happened. Yes, we have a witness that saw Trayvon on top of him, but that witness can't tell you what happened before he saw Trayvon on top of him. We only have George Zimmerman's word.
So what should Trayvon Martin have done? Trayvon Martin punches George Zimmerman in the nose. What should Trayvon Martin's next move should have been after he punches him in the nose?
Who's to say that George Zimmerman didn't swing on him first?
Oh, okay, so fine. Let's say he swung on him first, Trayvon swings back, and then what?
And then it's all out war. There's no rules in war.
Oh, okay, so, and George Zimmerman then, and then George Zimmerman then uses his gun and...
You hear me?
You're live. Is that okay? Is that justified then?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Okay, let's say George swings first, and Trayvon swings back and punches him in the nose and knocks him down to the ground. Now Trayvon's on top, he's got the advantage, then what?
Well, then at that point, I'm sure the witness would have called the cops. I mean, he wouldn't have killed him at that time because obviously the cops were on the way. He said that when he shot Trayvon, the cops was there less than 30 seconds. If he had been kicking George's ass for another 30 seconds, the cops would have pulled him off or shot him. And to answer Jeff's question earlier, had Trayvon Martin been white, then it would still be a media story because then the narrative would be that this damn foreigner, Puerto Rican, Cuban, or whoever he is, killed a white man.
I don't agree with that. Derek the Bounty Hunter. Derek the Bounty Hunter is here. Derek?
Yeah. How you doing?
Did you see the interview?
Well, did I answer your question, Reed?
Yes, you did. You answered the question. Not the way that I believe you should have, but that's your opinion. So I'm going to, you know me, JC, I'm going to let you live with your opinion. Derek the Bounty Hunter, did you hear the interview between George Zimmerman and Sean Hannity?
God, that guy's a nutcase, isn't he?
No, I don't agree there.
Well, the George Hannity and George Zimmerman. You know,
well,
I'm listening to your argument here, and yeah, like, you know, I agree with the other guy that was on the phone here. You know what I mean? What rules are there in fighting, Reece? You know, as far as Trayvon know, I got some nutcase filed on me. Okay, he didn't have no identification for himself. And this guy sitting over here saying he didn't regret following this boy. Like I said, you know, I am an armed security guard, you know, and I just can't go ahead and start following people, okay? You have to call the police, okay? He spoke to the police. He was not supposed to follow that boy, okay?
Okay, well, Derek, hold on.
He was
Derek,
not supposed
I'm
to follow
that
boy.
Guys, hold on. Derek, I'm going to make an argument to you, okay? If, according to where this story was reported before George Zimmerman gave this interview, it was the whole idea that Trayvon Martin had been hunted down like a rabid dog and shot. Now, if the story is true, and remember, Trayvon has no gun. George Zimmerman does. George Zimmerman is following this kid. The kid comes behind him and says, yo, you got a problem? If George Zimmerman was a malicious kind of guy, if he was me, it would have been Trayvon Martin comes back around and says, yo, my man, you got a problem? I would have turned around and said, yes, nigga, I do.
Yeah, well, look, that boy had every right to be there. See, y'all keep going over here and making it seem like the boy had every right to be there. He had every right to be there. George Zimmerman violated that boy's rights.
Had every right to
okay.
Derek, you're missing the scenario.
No.
If George Zimmerman...
Right, you're missing the scenario, Derek.
If George Zimmerman's intent was to kill him, hold on. If George Zimmerman's intent was to kill an unarmed kid, why wouldn't it have been, yo, my man, you got a problem? George Zimmerman says, yes, I have a problem. Why didn't
that
happen?
We're taking George Zimmerman's word for it, man. Remember, this dude was supposedly on some type of depression medication that he didn't take and all this crap. So, you know, like I said, this whole scenario could be going on in his mind because he's mentally imbalanced because he did not take that medicine that was prescribed to him. You remember that part of the situation?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm telling you, that dude is not right in the head, man. He's looking at him, he ain't right in the head.
Eric?
And now look at that, Reese, and Reed. And let me make this point, and I'm going to put myself on hold. But Reed, again, we're taking the word of a man who is simply covering his ass. Who's to say that he's telling the truth?
Exactly.
Physical evidence. Eyewitnesses.
You're taking his word as though it's.
We're not taking his. We're not taking
evidence.
His word, JC. It's physical evidence and eyewitnesses.
Yeah, that's
dude,
what I'm saying.
He
murdered
that boy.
Listen, George Zimmerman said, and I quote, that Trayvon said to him, "Yo, my man, do you have a problem?" Those are George Zimmerman words.
Not no, I don't have a problem. But you do now.
The words of a man that's proven his ass.
For all Trayvon knows, he got some damn chest to follow him, man. You know what I'm saying? For all he know, he has some damn Jeffrey Dahmer dude that wanted to eat his penis type dude chasing.
And then to arrogantly say after, hold on, Derek. And then to say after he shot Trayvon, Trayvon's last words were, "Oh, you got me."
He didn't say that. Hold on. He said you got it. He said his words were, "You got it. You got it," which makes sense to me. You got it. You got the upper hand. You got the bullet. Hold on. Let's bring Edward and Mike and Cindy back in. Are these guys delusional? I think they just want Trayvon. I mean, pardon me.
I think they're delusional. Nothing matters. Nothing matters except the two witnesses who saw Zimmerman getting his ass whipped. Once that happened, like Edward said, once Zimmerman was controlled by Martin and Martin continued to assault him, it's okay to shoot him. Period. He's under no obligation to be beaten to death like the other 62 MFers who died in Florida from physical assault last year.
But the bottom line is that George Zimmerman would have listened to what he was told.
And if Trayvon Martin had walked his narrow ass 80 feet back to his daddy's house, this wouldn't have happened either. And
that's
if a dog
also
had
true.
He wouldn't bump his ass when he hopped.
No, hold on, JC, before you say anything, stop. JC, before you say anything, I want Cindy to respond to that. Remember, in this case, Trayvon Martin had a choice. He belonged there, and where he belonged was in the house. He had a choice. Either confront George Zimmerman or walk to his father's girlfriend's house. He chose option one. Well, okay, Cindy, what about that? Does that even matter?
What matters to me is if George Zimmerman would have listened and listened to what he was told not to follow the boy, the whole scenario would have never happened.
And if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass when he hopped. Your point makes no sense.
Trayvon
Martin had not sought confrontation, this wouldn't have happened.
There's no proof of that.
Hold on.
There's no evidence of that.
Would have listened and not sought the confrontation.
He didn't have to listen to a civilian employee. You understand that was not the police?
Guys, hold on for a second. Guys seem to be forgetting this. Trayvon Martin, if he skips away and he runs, whatever it is that he did, skips away, runs away, whatever it is. The question is, Trayvon Martin had safe haven in the complex. He was not a criminal. He did belong there. And his safe haven was 80 feet away. The only thing he had to do, if he thought that this man, George Zimmerman, was a threat to him, he doesn't have a weapon. He doesn't know if Trayvon. He doesn't know if George Zimmerman's a molester. He doesn't know if George Zimmerman is a killer, a murderer, whatever the case is. All he had to do was get his ass in the house and say, "Dad, I don't know who this guy was, but I was walking down the block and he was following me and looking at me. I think we need to call the cops." Trayvon never does that. Why is that not a factor?
And he had a cell phone with him.
Wait, that's right.
Yeah, what happened to that narrative? That peanut-headed crump was saying, "Oh, would girlfriend say he called 911? But we ain't heard those 911 calls. You know why? Because he didn't call 911.
Cindy, let me ask you that. But based on this, 80 feet away from the house. Wait, hold on. I'm asking Cindy. 80 feet away from his safe haven, his father's fiance's house, he's got a choice. He believes if what these guys are saying, especially what Derek the Bounty Hunter is saying, if that he didn't know that whether or not George Zimmerman is a predator, a sexual predator, a murderer, a killer, a psychopath, Trayvon Martin had safe haven 80 feet away. Doesn't that play a factor as to why he didn't go? I mean, don't you ask yourself, why didn't he just go home?
I really don't know why he didn't just go home. But the thing of it is why did George Zimmerman pursue him when he was told not to?
But he ran.
No. That's not the point. That is not the point.
Remember, he got away from him. He got away from him.
He was free and clear.
George Zimmerman says
on 911, I don't know where he is.
Yeah, he's gone.
So Trayvon went back looking to kick that guy's ass.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking. The point is that he lost him. Trayvon knew he lost him, and while he's walking back, the bottom line is Trayvon. If he was scared, if he was worried, if he was concerned, he's got a father back at the house. He's got a brother back at the house. He's got family back at the house. He's got a safe haven. He doesn't return home, and it's only 80 feet away, folks. That's 80 feet. I mean, that's what is that? It's less than a
third. Where did you get 80 feet from?
He was 80 feet, JC. We've always talked about that.
Where did you get 80 feet from?
It's less than a football field.
No.
It's less than a football field away where he got killed. Less than one football field away from where he was killed.
We're talking yards. We're not talking necessarily feet. But Reese. And to answer that question earlier, why didn't he run home? Well, from where he was coming from the store to where the dad's girlfriend lived, if Zimmerman is the only thing that's blocking the path between there and there, I'd knock his ass out too and probably stomp the crap out of him.
Then you go to jail for felony assault.
Or you get shot.
Because you can't put somebody on the ground and hold them down and execute them with physical blows.
When the evidence comes out, JC,
I don't know why you don't get it. You have two eyewitnesses.
I don't understand why
two,
you don't get it.
Including one who's
why
black.
Why don't these laws apply in Florida? I don't understand it.
What law?
You can have Florida.
You can't execute people, JC. You can't execute helpless people. Which means you can't hold somebody down on the ground and bash their head on the concrete. And as to your 30 seconds away argument you made, how many bashes of the concrete? How many times do you think that I could bash your head on the concrete before
you
die?
Defend yourself, and that's not defending yourself in the fight.
JC, hold on. Now, JC, I want to have an even exchange here. Answer that question that Mike just posed. 30 seconds. 30 seconds before police arrive there, you're getting your head pounded on the ground. 30 seconds away. Who are we to determine whether or not George Zimmerman wouldn't have ended up, as his brother suggested, a vegetable if in those 30 seconds? Trayvon's on top of him. He's bashing his head into the ground. We know that there's proof of that. You're dismissing the fact that Trayvon. Now, I will ask you this before you even answer that question. Answer this yes or no. Is it consistent to believe that Trayvon Martin is bashing George Zimmerman's head on the concrete? Is that consistent with you?
I will agree with that. Yeah, I don't.
Okay,
see the
problem. So it did happen. You don't disagree. You don't. It's absolutely indisputable evidence that Trayvon was bashing his head into the ground, right?
Right.
Okay. How should George Zimmerman respond in that scenario?
He should have fought his way up. He should have fought his way up.
Come on, man. Dude, have you ever been punched in the nose and had your head bashed on the ground?
No, I don't all go right. following people either. I don't go following people.
Let me
people
tell you a story. I sent Reese a news story out of Chicago from this week. Did you get the one about Delfino Mora, Reese?
I didn't get that one yet. I didn't even look at that.
Okay. This 62-year-old Mexican man just got killed in Chicago this last week, right? He was a 62-year-old disabled Mexican guy. He was out in an alley picking up cans, and these three hooligans showed up, and one of them decided to play the knockout game. Have you heard of this stupid bullshit?
I have heard of this game.
Homeboy runs up on him. While they're filming this, by the way, he punched this old Mexican man one time. The old guy falls down, hits his head on the concrete, and guess what happened?
He died
from one impact on the concrete.
Adios, Pablo.
So are you saying, JC, my friend, that George Zimmerman should have just laid there and died because he may have made a bad decision?
They would have preferred it,
no,
but here's the scary part.
I don't think he should
and
have
you know what?
There
here's the
died.
Thing.
No.
If his name had been Jorge Posada, this story never would have made the news.
That's absolutely
it made
right.
the news because they thought this was some cracker who in Florida got away with shooting some nice little black boy. And now
okay.
they found out he's not a cracker. They're stuck.
Okay, hold on. Now I'm going to go to Derek on this one. Tell the truth, Derek. Does Mike have a point there?
You know what? Did Trayvon have the right to stand his own ground? Did he
yes.
have the right to stand his own ground?
Yes.
Like
but
I said,
he doesn't have the right to try to beat the guy to death.
All he knows he has some crazy man chasing him. All right?
Yes.
Now I would have stood around and turned on him too. I got
but
some
Derek,
crazy.
Well, then you're nuts.
Derek, you're out of your mind. Let me explain something to you. First of all, Derek's not telling being very, very consistent here. I've been in situations with Derek where we got into fights, Derek. If you remember that little situation over at Lady of Lords where somebody was messing
oh
with
God,
one of our boys
Lady of Lords.
And you walked up to the kid and you punched him right in his face, took his hat, put it on, and walked outside for us to get into a rumble with them. You remember that?
Yeah.
Didn't get on top of him and pound him to the ground and beat the crap out of him. But what happened when we got outside and you guys had a one-on-one fight? Somebody ran to a car and got a gun. Now, that's a different scenario. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. The reason why I'm bringing this scenario up is that somebody ran and got a gun where two guys were having a fair one, as we call it, a one-on-one fight. Someone knew they were going to lose and wanted the upper hand. You have to admit that in this scenario, George Zimmerman kept this physical, you know, tête-à-tête, hand-to-hand, fist-to-fist, until Trayvon is beating him down to the ground and slamming his head into the ground. Something's got to give, regardless of who it is that who's standing their ground. Once it gets to the point where somebody's life is in danger, remember, during all of this, George Zimmerman could have ended it with a gunshot way earlier than he is. Punched in the nose, knocked on the ground, punched in the face, MMA style, held with his mouth down, don't say a word, shut your effing mouth, all of that. And then a gun comes out and then a gunshot's fired. So there's a lot going on before the gun finally comes out. This wasn't George Zimmerman just outright going, oh my God, you punched me in the nose, blah. It never happened like
well,
that.
Hold on a second. First of all, if I'm going to pursue somebody, you better believe I know how to physically defend myself, okay? First of all, I'm going to be 41 next month, and it will be the day that a 16 or 17-year-old kid is going to get the upper hand on
and
me in a fight.
How big
you
are you, dude?
Be an incredible
Derek, how
kid.
Big are you, man?
About 6
how big
foot,
are you,
230 pounds.
And George Zimmerman is 5'8" and 170 pounds.
Dude, come on. It'll
so,
be
yeah, of course. You know, could I have kicked his little skinny ass? Yeah, I'm 5'7", 195 pounds. I'm sitting at 10% body fat. I could have whipped his ass. But I'd have shot his little punk ass when he walked up on me. Bet.
No,
yeah,
George Zimmerman walked up on
you. You are not going to put me on the ground and turn me into a vegetable.
George Zimmerman.
Let me ask you a question. Mike,
if you pursue somebody, you're looking for it, okay? He pursued that boy. So
and he was, no, dude, he was looking for where this guy was going so he could tell the police what direction this little hooligan went. Because this little hooligan looked just like the other 75 little hooligans who'd been robbing a place blind.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put Edward on in a second, but after I make this comment, because we're almost at the end of the show, let me say this. You know, Derek keeps using that term that George Zimmerman pursued him, as if it is to use the word pursue in the manner of George Zimmerman, you are using the word nefariously. You're saying that George Zimmerman pursued Trayvon Martin in a nefarious way, that he looked at Trayvon Martin in a nefarious way. Again, we are going based upon the state of mind of George Zimmerman, who had been dealing with an out-and-out assault on his community, where people were home invading while people were in the house. They were being terrorized. He pursued Trayvon Martin, as your words suggest, pursuing him. But it was under the guise that this was somebody about to rob another person's house. George Zimmerman didn't know Trayvon wasn't one of those individuals, but he just knows that there are people out there who were doing it to the neighborhood. Yes, it's a chance meeting. Yes, that happens. It's unfortunate that they got into that confrontation. But when Trayvon has plenty of opportunity to get to his home and he decides to confront George Zimmerman, in any case, confront him, then at this point, all bets are off. All bets are off. At that particular point, he is saying that I am not afraid of you. I am not fearful of you. I don't know you have a gun. I don't care you have a gun. I'm going to let everybody get the last 3 minutes, but I'm going to tell you a story about Derek. Derek and I are driving in a car, and a guy cuts us off in the intersection. We're in somewhere near Kew Gardens or whatever. And I poke my head out of the window, and I say, "Yo, what are you, an effing moron? You know cars are trying to get away." Derek grabs me and says, "Yo, get in the car. You don't know whether or not somebody's got a gun. They could shoot you in the face." Derek's exact words. He yelled at me for screaming out to this guy to get out of the intersection. He says, "You know what today?" And we're talking about the late 80s, folks. Derek says, "You don't know, nowadays people carry guns." Trayvon Martin knows that. We're dealing with the 2012s. Now, Derek and everybody else, I'll let you guys chime in the last 3 minutes. Derek, I'm telling the truth here, right? Aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, Trayvon Martin knows that people in the street carry guns now. Everybody you confront is not a sucker, and not everybody in the street is not going to confront you with a pistol. So, Derek, tell the truth. Trayvon Martin, if he confronted George Zimmerman because he was pursuing him, he set himself up for somebody who may have had a gun. He should have known better, and this is a kid who was a part of the thug life, who did know better.
But then, like I said, George Zimmerman, who claims to be a neighborhood watch, like I said, you know you're not supposed to pursue these people. You call the police. Once you call the police, you're not supposed to pursue. Dude, I do this for a living.
He's a private citizen.
Derek,
not you. He's a private citizen in his neighborhood. He can walk the F around that neighborhood and follow anybody he wants.
Derek, I think you're giving George Zimmerman a capacity of a security guard or a police officer, and that wasn't the case. He was walking in his neighborhood. He was leaving his neighborhood to go shopping, and then he saw this person who was suspicious. He's not following the instructions of a police officer. He's just following the instructions of a dispatcher.
Dude, like I said, if you want the job, man, you have to do the job properly.
It's not a job. It's a volunteer position.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a volunteer position. He volunteered to protect his community.
Appointed.
And he volunteered to protect his community. That's all he did.
Which shows that he was a compassionate and caring individual. You didn't hear the story about him buying a lock for his neighbor who got home invaded?
Yeah, Derek doesn't care about tutoring
the little black girls in his neighborhood and telling people, "If you have trouble, call me." He cared. And I think little appearance last night was him trying to rehab his image, because let's face it, George Zimmerman was Mr. Black People up until this happened, and he's shocked that black people turned on him. And they did.
He murdered a boy.
He saved his life.
That's all he did.
He murdered a boy.
Would you rather he got beat to death?
No, if you're going to pursue somebody, have some hand skills.
He
dude.
Did not pursue him, and that little thug came back and got in his face.
No, Derek keeps you know, saying that.
There is totally evidence of that. And if he was fully aware, he'd have shot that little thug from 3 feet away, like I would have done.
All right, hold on. Everybody's on top of each other. Hold on. I'm going to let Edward and then Cindy. I need you guys to get the last word. Justin, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to let you guys get the last word because they've been dominating this. Edward. The bottom line is George Zimmerman, and I'm probably going to talk about this tomorrow. George Zimmerman did a good thing or a bad thing by doing this interview with Sean Hannity, yes or no?
Oh, that I think he was a horrible thing for him to do. He should keep his mouth shut until the trial.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Cindy, you agree as well?
Yes, I do.
How about you, Justin? Do you believe that he should have kept his mouth shut, or do you believe that he should do something to repair his image in his community or with the public at large?
I think he should have done that to repair his image with everybody else.
Yeah, because I think that he's taken a hit. I don't think that he's ever got an opportunity to speak, which scares the hell out of me, that he's never had an opportunity to speak. But now I believe it's actually going to put him in much more jeopardy. I'm going to take another word from our esteemed panel, who is very animated about this. I love Mike, and I love the rest of you as well, but I love Mike because, Mike, you really laid this out. But I think Derek and JC, I think that they're ignoring the facts in this because they want justice for Trayvon, and they're not looking at this.
No.
I don't think they're just looking
wrong.
At this in
The beating is inexcusable in the eyes of the law, period. I've read you the statute. It's black and white.
I don't think you guys care. I don't think JC and Derek,
I don't think they care. I don't think you give a crap at all.
They're not going to get their opinion.
I'm telling you, someone who does the job professionally. It's called.
And you are not him. Report. You got it. Your argument doesn't work, bro.
And
that does not matter.
Question.
He was observing and reporting.
Neither of these guys can state which statute that Zimmerman was supposedly in violation of by following Trayvon.
What statute? It's called stalking.
Nope.
It's not stalking.
Not in the state of Florida. Nope. That's not stalking.
Florida has stalking laws. Florida has stalking laws.
Yeah,
that is not considered stalking.
That's a domestic
thing.
That's a domestic thing. Boyfriend and ex-girlfriend, that's a stalking deal.
And I think it requires a repeated period of behavior.
Exactly, yes.
I think you guys are blinded to the fact that you guys want to make George Zimmerman guilty, and I don't think that you're paying attention to the whole facts from back to front. I think that you guys are agenda-based.
No, it's not even agenda-based, but you know what, Reese? I can't even get none of you guys to agree that there's no factual evidence that this kid and confirm them. There's no factual
evidence. And what
I'm
telling you is it doesn't matter.
I'm telling you.
It doesn't matter. George Zimmerman, according to the state of Florida, George Zimmerman could have walked up and said, "Hey, Chickaboo," and punched him in the face. And once Trayvon Martin put him on the ground, as per the two witnesses, and was beating him when he was defenseless, Trayvon Martin was capable of getting shot, according to the law.
And if that neighborhood had hired a security guard,
once he had that man subdued and was pounding him like he was George St. Pierre, George Zimmerman was allowed to cap his ass. Period.
That neighborhood had hired us just a professional.
There is no argument. There's no argument. It's in the Florida state statute.
I just want to be damn security out there.
It's in the state statute. He was allowed to shoot that little punk.
I don't agree with that.
I happen to agree. You have to deal with the law and what was lawful. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And, you know, as usual, and Cindy, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Justin, as always, my little boy. I'm sorry, Cindy, I cut you off. What you want to say?
I just want to say thank you for letting me speak.
Oh, of course. Everybody has a voice here. It's Reese on the Radio. It's your show. I just hope.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, by the way. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you. We got to go. We will see you tomorrow. We will, of course, continue this conversation and much more. Derek the Bounty Hunter, Edward in Connecticut, Mike in Florida, Justin, my baby boy. I'm sorry. I'm going to call you my baby boy. I'm sorry. I just had to. And, of course, JC, the producer.
And Jeff.
And Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for calling in. And thank you. Jeff had to leave. And Pooch and Laia. We're going to keep in touch with you guys. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow, I promise. I love you all. Thank you for being a part of the show. And we will see you tomorrow.